On the hunt for cannabis that feels how you want to feel? Go to Leafly, the world's most trusted legal cannabis marketplace. Want to turn up at the club? Or chill out in a bathtub? Or enjoy some green anywhere in between? Search full menus at local dispensaries with millions of reviews to help you decide what to order and where. Search Leafly on your browser or in the App Store. Your guide to all things cannabis. Leafly, where green means go.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
B-Pod Studios.
The dynamic duo.
Don't feed me crap.
Of Boston Sports Radio.
Yeah, get it right, stupid.
Felger and Mass. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
From the way you're talking about these guys, you obviously have a lot of conviction about these players. Would you say that you had a lot of input that Bill, the process was collaborative as far as reaching a consensus on these picks?
That's the word, Greg. It's collaborative. We've been putting in a lot of hours, you know, as a large group, dwindling that down to a smaller group. But it's a group, and we're all working together trying to, you know, see, you know, the differences, respect each other's differences. If those differences are really going to hinder the player from having a role on our team. And it's been great to, have players where we're on a consensus opinion.
That's the word collaborative, Greg, which is a way to get into what we want to talk about with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal, joining us in our Town Fair Tire Studios for the first time this offseason, Gregory.
Michael.
What's going on?
What's up?
The little big boy, like Custer. The freaking little big horn.
The medium boy.
The lean boy.
Well, what do you got? We can't call him the big boy anymore.
Little big boy.
Little big boy?
Yes,
big
absolutely. Boy? Yep. It's like right. Custer's last stand. And you'll notice, by the way, that the big boy plushies, there's a big one and a little one. It's the before and after photo of Greg Bedard is what it is. That we have them in front of the monitor there. That's what it is, the big boy plushies.
Nice.
All right, either way. So we've been wanting to do this for a while. Post-draft's a good time to do it. We thought we'd do it today. I know everyone's hot and bothered about the Bruins, so we can continue to take those calls and get it off our chest. This is why we're here, for you to call up and bitch about the Bruins, and we'll mix in.
I have some bitching to do myself about the Bruins.
Good. Well, you want to do it right now real quick?
Well, I mean, I guess my hot take about the Bruins, can I go into one series with the Bruins when we're not talking about their top-line guys, especially Marchand and Pastrnak not performing? Can I just do that one time? Do I have to wait until game four, game five? You know, every playoff season for them to get going, can they just be the guys that they are in the regular season that everybody gets pants off out about? Can I get that to start one series where they're the best players on the ice? Because that's what I hear all regular season. They're so good. All-stars. Marchand, you know, he didn't make the all-star team. You know, he got robbed. Can they go out in the postseason and deliver one time, please?
That's see what he does, hockey. He's the big bad boy.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, a little bit of edge. Meanwhile, on the Patriots, this is what I want to start with, where Matt Groh, boy, sure sounded there like, I don't know, he had some sway there, but he talked about it being collaborative, and that's a way to get into this Mike Girardi tweet from yesterday or the other day. And Mike Girardi tweeted a quote from an NFL assistant with ties to New England. So an NFL assistant with ties to New England. Said, quote, there are too many variances at the skill positions from previous years. My belief is that a majority of this draft was run by Matt Groh. How can you not think that? Thornton and the Jones boys, they drafted two corners named Jones, are not prototypical Bill picks. Again, that was an NFL assistant with ties to New England. Greg,
they
I
are
asked,
fast.
That's Matt Groh. I ask you, did Bill Belichick cede control of this draft?
I think to an extent. I think you look at the first round pick, Cole Strange, who, you know, good player. I think he has a chance to be an all-pro type center, like once Andrews is done. We don't know how long Andrews had. He had the health thing a couple years ago. He's been injured before. We don't know how long he has. I think that Strange, who played guard in college, which you talked about earlier in the week, but at the Senior Bowl, they put him almost exclusively at center. And, yeah, he had some trouble with Travis Jones, the UConn nose tackle, but largely he played really well. And I loved what I saw out of him. He reminds me of a young Alex Mack in terms of being a future center. So I like the player. Completely overdrafted. I don't care what reports are out there about, you know, oh, well, these guys were high on him. There's a difference between being high on an interior offensive lineman and actually picking him at the bottom of the first round or top of the second round. And I don't think that there are many teams that would have done that. Another guard didn't go until 28 picks later, 57. So it's easy to talk about, oh, we like this player, we're interested in this player. But actually drafting him, not a lot of teams would do that.
But you think that was more of a Bill pick?
I think it was more of a Bill pick. And also, I don't know why it took me so long to think of this. Who do we think is going to be the offensive line coach next year?
Matt Patricia did a great job of being on that early.
Matt Patricia is Bill's boy. He's been by his side everywhere. Palm Beach, Nantucket, wherever. You know, if you have designs for Matt Patricia to be the next guy to keep your program in place, wouldn't it behoove you to get exactly who this guy wants to make him look as good as possible in year one? Maybe go overboard to say, we're going to go heavy on the offensive line because we really want to look good there. And to me, I think that was a Bill Patricia pick. And then after that, I think it's the new wave. I think there's a new wave, new nerd sort of, you know, path for the Patriots where they used to be all about football players. Tape, football player, love football. I'm sure all these guys love football. And in fact, I've heard that about at least their top three guys, top four, top five guys. They love football. They do. Bailey Zappe, too, the quarterback. So they got those guys. But, you know, these guys were more height, weight, measurables type of thing than we've ever heard before.
Say it again, the thing you told me the other night.
The RAS.
Relative athletic score.
Yeah. They were all, the top three picks all scored very high for their positions.
Yeah, they all have a nice RAS.
So, and again, this is a case you just joined us and didn't hear the conversation the other day. It's sort of like a formula of their combine scores. It's a algorithm or a formula based on how they test out.
Just on testing, just on physical testing.
Just measurables. That's
so you
it.
Don't need evaluators. You literally plug him into a formula.
What was his 40 time? What was his three
six,
cone time?
You know, almost 6'5", 300 pounds, and runs, you know, sub 5 seconds in the 40. You know, bench 225, 31 times.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's describing Cole Strange there. You pump in all those measurables into a formula. It spits out a number, and they are starting to draft based on that number.
Yes, because in the past they haven't been good at it, and they're tired of getting their ass kicked.
Which is like...
There's not a lot of humans out there who are doing that.
The antithesis of what it used to be, which is combine scores are overrated. The film tells us everything. I want functional football speed, not 40 times speed. And that's the way it was. And now, so now you're saying you think the philosophy has changed on that, Greg?
I think so. I think they're more open to, you know, and perhaps they're looking at their deficiencies in drafting in the past and saying, like, we need to change how we're doing it. And we need to go with more athletes. We need to get quicker. We need to do all these things where we're lacking on film. And you could clearly see it last year. We talked about it even early in the season before they went on their winning streak and everybody's like, oh, everything's okay. No, they were still too slow on film against certain teams and it was going to come and bite them. And I think after the season, they realized that. So maybe there's a change in philosophy on we need to rely more on athletes. All right. And so I credit them for that. But if there, you have to thread the needle, you have to find a balance. Before, they were too heavy on, oh, well, what Bill wants. Traditionally, this is what we want and all that stuff. And now, could they be going too far to the other side? I think the Thornton pick in the second round is the barometer on all this. I mean, he is your classic. Now, I watched film on him. I liked him more than I thought I would. I think there's more there than just a track guy and a deep threat, and he can only run in a straight line. There's a little bit more there than that. But still, him becoming an impact player. And look, Mac Rowe said a month ago, he said he put the bar. First, second, and third round picks should contribute immediately. He set that bar. Sorry to use it against you, Matt. I'm glad you gave us the quote. You know, this is why the Patriots don't say anything, because they don't want to use it against them. But he needs to come in and contribute. He can't do 15 catches in year one. Nope, not good enough. So I think that Thornton is the barometer on the new wave Patriots, whether they're striking the right balance or not.
And do you think he was more of a reach than Strange?
Yes. Yes. Strange is going to play. Strange is going to play in this league for 10 years. Probably be Pro Bowl level, either at guard. He will guard immediately. I think, you know, it depends on what happens with the Patriots, who they got. They got a good undrafted center. Who knows? Maybe he's the next center. You know, but he's going to play in this league for 10 years. There's no doubt about that. Now, could you have gotten him in the second round? From all the people I've talked to, 95% chance he was going to be available at 54. Without even trading up for Thornton.
See, again, the player does not bother me. The position is what bothered me, that they took it in the first round.
But Thornton, back to
100%.
Thornton. Yeah, so why is Thornton such an outlier?
Because he really only had, like, one real year of production. Look, this isn't just me talking, okay? Tyquan Thornton was a senior at Baylor. He was eligible to play in the Senior Bowl. Jim Nagy, who used to be a scout here, who basically trumpets every single Patriots pick out of the Senior Bowl. He loves everything that they do. Did not pick Tyquan Thornton to go to the Senior Bowl.
So he wasn't even invited to the
Senior Bowl. Wasn't even invited. There's like, I don't know, 12, 15 receivers. Just seniors. Not talking about underclassmen. Just seniors. Thornton was not selected to go to the Senior Bowl. He is the highest Shrine Bowl draftee since 2012. A decade. And that was Jimmy Garoppolo with the Patriots.
So the Shrine Bowl is like the second tier.
It's the second tier.
It's the
second tier bowl.
It's the NIT of that thing.
Right.
I never even considered any of this.
Me neither.
So it's not just, this is just enhancing the opinion on Thornton, that even before anything that he did, coming out of this year where you're looking at how many really good senior receivers can there be? And Jim Nagy at the Senior Bowl decided he wasn't one of the top 15. And that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying he's foolproof. Nagy's pretty good. He's done a good job with the Senior Bowl. And Thornton didn't even get an invite for that.
So can I ask a conspiracy question? Okay. Yeah. And again, I'm not telling you I believe this. I'm just asking it. Is there any chance, as given that Nagy's a former employee, they got to him and said, don't invite this kid because we want to draft him?
I would be very surprised.
I'm just asking because it's going to come up.
Because then you're doing a disservice to the kid. You're like conspiring against the kid and hurting his career.
Right.
I
get the question, but most of the time, those
that's
bids,
what I'm getting at, Murray.
Like the Senior Bowl bids, some of them go out before the season's even over. I want to say like November, December, stuff like that. I mean, I don't even know how much Bill is in on, you know, draft evaluation at that point in time. I know he does it in the offseason. Like right now he's doing next season. But I don't know when he starts to really look at the guys who are going to be in that draft.
Okay, the dust is starting to settle on the draft, has settled on the draft. Big Boy doesn't feel much better about it 4 days later. How do you feel about it? We got Bedard in studio with your calls at 617-779-0985.
Love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
You want to get faster? Just like if you want to get tougher, you better get tough guys. You want to get faster? You better get fast guys. And I don't know how many guys out there are faster than Tyquan. So we're really excited to be able to add him and his explosive playmaking. He is fast. So, you know, to be able to get some toughness and some athleticism on the first night. And, you know, I think these other two guys, Tyquan and Marcus Jones, they're certainly tough guys too. But, you know, at their positions, the skill positions, they are fast.
You know, personally, their scouting and drafting methods obviously needed a change. They needed to evolve. They weren't drafting well. So they're evolving and going in a certain direction, which we've all been asking for. So, like, I have to applaud that. If I'm being fair, this is what I wanted. This is what we all wanted. Whatever you were doing wasn't working, so change it. So they're changing it.
Okay, can I stop you before you go on?
Good.
Wasn't last year pretty good?
Yeah, it was. But all I'm saying, I mean, this is the thread I'm working on right now. I mean, this is what we've been asking for, was a change. So why am I so scared of Matt Groh and the change? Because I don't feel good about it. Like, I hear him talk. I'm like, he's a super nerd there, you know? It's the football nerd.
Because there's not another – it's another example of no succession plan. You know, for years, Patriots go from you know, Scott Pioli to Nick Caserio to Dave Ziegler to Mac Rowe, who was an area scout 3 years ago. Like, there's a big drop-off in terms of institutional knowledge, and this is going on all over the place, on the coaching staff, in the front office, and so it doesn't, especially with the way things have turned out. And let's also look at the players, you know, from, you know, Brady's gone, no plan at quarterback, Gronk's gone, nothing at tight end, it goes on and on, cornerback, blah blah blah. You just, this is another example, and it hasn't worked out for this team so far, so you're just not sure how Groh's going to work, because it's just another one of these decisions.
Yes, Maz?
So what I was going to say is, to me, the part that I'm having a hard time with is the dramatic departure in terms of the method. So if you were to say to me that they're starting to incorporate some other elements that they didn't incorporate in the past, that it was still that it was a combination now of football and analytics. Okay. Like I said this the other day, I kind of like the Thornton pick. I mean, I like the idea of taking a receiver in the second round, taking a guy who can run. Okay. And you should flip it on receiver because you've sucked at that position for 20 years. Yep. So that one I'm okay with. Some of the other ones I do look at, though, and go, did you have to do it everywhere? Like, does it have to apply to every spot on the field now? Because their defensive backs are tiny.
I just have to be fair about it. I wanted them to change. I wanted them to evolve. They had to. They just weren't having enough success, so they have to change their methods. Good.
Mike, it's the analytics part of it you don't like.
It's Bill's coaching buddy's son regurgitating combine results to me. I don't know how that's supposed to make me feel good. So that's a part I've hung. I mean, the way he describes the freaking guard, Jimmy, again, just give me that, the Cole Strange cut we have, just on what they liked about Cole Strange. I mean, this isn't all they liked, but, you know, he felt the need to point all this out. Let's go ahead.
Almost 6'5", 300 pounds, and runs, you know, sub 5 seconds in the 40. You know, bench 225, 31 times.
Go on.
Bench 225, 31 times. This is a really big, strong, tough, athletic guy. If you value toughness, which we do, you know, you value guys like Cole Strange.
Okay, so the toughness part, fine. I'm with him. But what does the fact that he runs a sub 5:40 have to do with anything?
There's not a lot of humans out there who are doing that.
And again, so now we have some sort of metahuman. Like, what are we drafting, football players or decathletes or whatever? Like,
he is fast.
So I'm just telling you, the Bills coaching buddy's kid taking over the department and now regurgitating what his bench press reps were at the combine as a justification for drafting a guy. That, I don't know, I have a hard time getting behind that, Greg.
But collaborative.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, my sort of critique of that pick, and it's similar to what Matt said earlier, is, you know, I don't mind the player, okay? But I'm not taking a guard in the first round. I'm not. I mean, just look at the Patriots' own recent history. In 2014, when they broke through, again, when Scarnecchia wasn't even there, he was retired, their interior offensive line was Dan Connolly, undrafted. Brian Stork, rookie fourth-round center. Right guard, Ryan Wendell, undrafted. When they won in 2016 and 2018, left guard, Joe Tooney, immediate starter, third-round pick. Center, David Andrews, undrafted, immediate starter. Right guard, Shaq Mason, fourth-round, immediate starter. All good players from the jump for this team. And they have to pick a guard at 29 to be a good football team with this football team? I just don't understand that at all.
Okay, to your phones, as promised. Big boy, medium boy, little big boy. We're going to try to bore this down a little bit.
Little big boy.
Collaborative.
Not fair to call him the big boy anymore. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, in our Town for Tire Studios. Tyler in Middleborough. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was wondering if you thought that, like, Jack Jones could maybe turn into a J.C. Jackson type. He has good ball hawking skills. He is a little short, but he's instinctive. He had some off-the-field issues, five-star recruit, high school, a lot of similarities there.
Okay, Jack Jones, the other corner that they took, and I will just read from the story from NBC Sports Boston that gave that Giardi tweet about how there's a former NFL New England assistant out there in the NFL who believes that the majority of this draft was run by Mac Groh. He says the Jones boys are cornerbacks Marcus Jones and Jack Jones, whom the Patriots drafted in the third and fourth rounds, respectively, both weigh under 180. The team also drafted a pair of running backs and a quarterback, despite appearing to be set at both positions, blah, blah, blah. The cornerbacks, your thoughts on them?
Well, I think the caller talked about a J.C. Jackson comparison. If I'm not mistaken, J.C. Jackson is around 6 foot, 6'1", yep, something like that. He's a boundary corner.
And a physical boundary
Jack
corner.
Jack Jones is 5'9".
Right. Thank you.
I mean, they have a bunch of small people in the secondary. I mean, from Jonathan Jones and now Marcus Jones, who I love. That kid's a baller. Would have picked him there. Great pick. Jack Jones, Miles Bryant. All these guys, they have all these smaller guys. Maybe they have a plan. Maybe it's to thwart the Dolphins and the Chiefs and the Bill. I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out. But there's no question that all these small cornerbacks, especially if you're 5'8 or 5'9, those are mostly like undrafted guys for the Patriots. You know, that's where they go for those guys. Miles Bryant, perfect example.
Did you say Malcolm Butler? How tall is Malcolm Butler?
5'10 maybe.
Yeah. So again, J.C. Jackson, I looked it up, is 6'1". They got a lot of little guys out there. I mean, I don't know. I'm no offensive coordinator, but I'd throw it high.
Tommy and Milton on the Bruins. Go, Tommy.
Hey, Mike. Listen, I just want to give you props for spitting out the information about Brickley and Edwards. I detest them. I can't even listen to them on the thing. I have to either put it on ESPN.
Okay, I'm not doing that. I thought their commentary last night was way off, Tommy. I thought it was embarrassing. But I'm not bashing those two, so I don't want to do that. Do you have okay. something else?
Yeah, Mike, and you know, Greg, I know you're a little PO'd at the thing. I wanted to see them get Christian Watson at the move up in the second round for a wide receiver. But you know what? Belichick's messed up, but give him a little time. I'm hoping.
We don't have time. We have a daily talk show. I've been over this a million times. We're assessing it in real time. There were five receivers taken around that grouping where you got Tyquan Thornton. Does it make you nervous that the Steelers were behind you? The Chiefs were more than happy to trade down and take the guy they took. You know, those teams have had much more success at that position than you. Does that make you nervous if you're a Patriots fan?
100%. Yeah, all those teams have better track records. I mean, look, it's a different – if it's a different age, I mean, Mac Jones is in his second year. The offensive coordinator play caller thing, we'll see how that all makes a difference in this. I mean, in theory, Mac Jones in his second year, new offensive coordinator, all that, it should be advantageous for younger receivers to play quicker here and contribute. We'll see how it works out.
We've got Jason and Easton on the Bruins. Go, Jason.
Hey, guys. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. It's the same thing every year with this team. They pile up points in the regular season. They fool everybody, including management, into thinking they're better than they are. And then they get into the postseason, and they either get out-physical or out-skilled, or in this case, both. And one other thing, if you're Patrice Bergeron right now, especially after you took that puck to the nuts last night, do you want to come back next year? And if so, would you want to do it here? Because you're not going to win the cup here.
So I don't rule out Patrice Bergeron continuing to play and continuing to play somewhere else. I've never ruled that out. This thing about, I mean, don't we know now? I mean, don't you watch a certain quarterback down in Tampa and say anyone can go anywhere at any time for any reason? Like, why? There's no one. I mean, why would you be surprised if Patrice Bergeron went somewhere else if he wanted to go home and play for the Canadiens? His former agent runs the Canadiens now. He's a Quebecer. What if a team relocate? He knows a team's relocating to Quebec City, and that's where I think he grew up, a Nordiques fan. Whatever. I don't know. What if he wants to just go home, finish his career where he grew up, that thing? Or maybe he just wants a bigger contract than they're offering, and he can go make $8 million a year somewhere else, and they're offering him $4 million, and he knows it, and he wants to go somewhere else. I don't rule out any of that.
Yeah, and whatever it was, the decision was made before the season started, which is why he didn't sign.
So I would agree with that, too. I don't think, right, Maz, it's an excellent point.
You know, so because if he wanted to play and play here and everything was right, he would have signed. So the decision was made a long, long time ago. We just don't know what it is.
It's good, and it's not based on what's happening now or in the next couple of weeks. It's not. And it almost never is. People get this, you know, we've talked about this a lot. If he wins the Super Bowl, he's going to walk away. If he doesn't, that's not why they do it. It's whether they want to keep playing or not. It doesn't matter whether they win or lose their last game. It's about do they want to play and where do they want to play. And whether they win or lose their last game, it really doesn't matter. It's about much bigger things than that.
I think he's done. I think he's retiring.
Here's Matt in North Carolina. Go, Matt.
Hey, I'm no offensive line expert, but I was watching the Pat Maxey show earlier, and this strength pick does not look like it's going to end well for the Patriots and protecting Mac Jones.
So McAfee said he can't block?
Oh, there's a whole video clip on it at the end of the show. If you guys have a chance to watch it.
Okay. Are you concerned about his pass protection?
I'm just going to assume I don't know what video was shown. I'm going to assume they showed some of the clips of Travis Jones from UConn, the nose tackle, you know, beating
Bullingham.
strange, like him three into the times. Backfield. Yeah, I mean, one time he just shoved him aside. Another time he just shoved him back. Another time he put him on his rear end. Look, I texted one offensive line coach in the league to ask him about Strange, and I said, well, Travis Jones kicked his butt. And he's like, Travis Jones kicked everyone's butt at the Senior Bowl. Plus, Strange was snapping at the time. He's at a little bit of a disadvantage, but it's not significant. On the whole, Strange's film from Senior Bowl week was really, really good. He's a good player. I do worry about him as far as him going in at guard. He'll play. As far as him being really good year one, I worry about him being a little bit light in the britches. He's a little...
Yeah, a little linear.
A little, yeah. He is a little skinny, not, you know, you'd like... I mean, look at Mike Owenu. That dude is built like a tree trunk in the lower body. So he has an anchor, and he was able to play effectively as a rookie. Strange is going to have to overcome that. I'm sure he will in time, but at the start, he's a little light. It's the one-on-ones against the Patriots interior guys. Like, I want to see Barmore against Strange in training camp. I have a feeling Barmore is going to work them, but we'll see.
See, most people go to training camp to watch the receivers in the 7-on-7.
No, Craig, he watches the fat guys.
He wants to see the D-tackle go against the guard.
Oh, yeah, no, he's into the sumo. He wants that. But, you know, remember the scouting report we read on Strange? It said that the issue with him would be pass protection, right? That he's just not strong in the lower body.
Good ass, weak ass.
On that note, here comes an update from Big Jim. We come back 3 up, 3 down, our 3 favorite moves from the offseason, our 3 least favorite. Again, right after the headlines.
You value guys.
Felger. Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for 3
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw!
3 down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. 3 up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And then a cannon's gone. Fire him. Keep on firing him.
3 down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's do this. 3 up, 3 down. We're in the offseason, so we don't have our sponsorship. But Big Boy in studio here, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. 3 favorite moves from the Patriots this offseason, 3 least favorite moves. Draft, free agency, whatever you want. 3 favorite, 3 least favorite, Patriots only. Go ahead, Greg, your favorite move they've made this offseason.
The trade for DeVante Parker. Look, he brings in a receiver. They needed more help. He's good. He's going to help. I don't know how great he's going to be. But he certainly improves the room, gives another weapon to Mac Jones, and I like the value on the trade was really good.
DeVante Parker, what he said, go.
Matt Patricia did a great job of being on that early.
So credit Matt Patricia on that one. Thank you, Matt Grote. Number 2?
The Mac Wilson for Chase Winovich trade. I think that Mac Wilson, if they can unlock his potential, has the ability to start right away here and be a good sort of quicker linebacker, what they've lacked. It also gets Chase Winovich the hell out of here, which should have been done a year ago. But what have you, it's finally done. He offered nothing to this team, complete waste of a pick, a waste of airspace, and he's gone and a better player's here.
Tyquan Thornton, take a shot. Change the way you do it at that position. They needed some sort of game breaker in the offense. They suck at receivers. It's a radical approach. But I don't mind it. And look, they took him early. Fine. Take a shot. I'm okay with that one.
3.
Drafting Pierre Strong in the 4th round. If I had to lay odds on the guy who contributes the most immediately out of this draft class, it's their 4th round running back. I mean, because James White still isn't cleared. We don't know what's going to happen with him. Who knows with J.J. Taylor. I think if Strong pops in training camp, he's going to be the pass back.
I also had Mac Wilson on my list, believe it or not. He's my 3rd guy. I went back when they made the trade. I went back and read the scouting report. He's supposed to be good in the pass game, played at Alabama. Like, you know, to me, that feels like the kind of guy that Belichick might be able to tap into. I'm intrigued by that. So Mac Wilson's on my list.
3 worst moves. Greg, number 1, worst move.
Not moving money, cap space, to 2023 to make this year's team better. Everybody else is doing it. I think the Patriots... They knew the cap for a long time better than other teams, and other teams were playing catch up. the Patriots right now are playing catch up in terms of how to maneuver the salary cap to make your team as effective as possible. I think, and related to that is not tagging J.C. Jackson. You know, move the cap space for J.C. Jackson's franchise tag. Try to trade him. Great. If you trade him, great. You get the cap space back. You can use it. If not, you have a number one cornerback to improve this year's team.
The coaching staff. I just lazy. It's the same old thing. Let me take the most available retread that I don't have to pay and force him into my operation, regardless of whether or not he fits the actual job in need.
Oh, the staff is clearly the worst move from the offseason, I think. Number two, Greg.
Yeah, I was going to leave that alone because I figured Mavs was going to handle it.
I did.
Re-signing Juwan Bentley to a contract extension, and for this reason, not because I don't like the player. I do. I think he's fine. But I think we all know by now that Juwan Bentley has a ceiling. Like, he's never going to be – is he ever going to be a Pro Bowler? Maybe, probably not. You know, he was only re-signed because he's the only guy who knows the scheme. Like, just stop. Like, move beyond that. I would have let Bentley go, and then for the second year in a row, you would have had an opportunity where the player you need is there for you. Last year, it was Mac Jones right there at 15. If you stayed at 21, didn't re-sign Juwan Bentley, you get Devin Lloyd. The Utah linebacker, plug and play. He's your quarterback of the defense, would have been set. And to me, I fear that this is going to be a Sony Michel over Darius Leonard type of selection again.
Taking Gegard in the first round of the draft. So it's not a Cole Strange thing in particular. It's more of a taking a guard in round one. You had much bigger needs. It's a position you can fill at other points in the draft. I hated that strategy. Hated it.
Third worst.
Related. Trading out of 21 and then drafting a guard in the first round. You guys know I love offensive linemen. I think it's a lot more important to winning and losing than you guys think. But I cannot justify. And all you have to do is look at the three recent Super Bowl winners for this franchise. You cannot justify taking a guard in the first round. Not where this team is and the needs on this team. You can't do it.
Bailey Zappi, quarterback, fourth round. And you know what? You want to tell me you want to take a quarterback? Fine. Does he have to be 6 feet tall? Along with the two defensive backs who are 5'8 and 5'9?
I was just going to say, I like drafting the quarterback. I hate that he's 6 feet. Listed at six, which means he's 5'11".
Right.
You know, like, boy, he's just too little.
Yes. So, again, you got a six-foot quarterback and two 5 foot, 5'8", 5'9", defensive backs. I couldn't start for Brockton High, for crying out loud. But meanwhile, and I got – so now the backup quarterback, I got to go with a six-footer named Dweezil? Like –
He's actually 6 foot and a half.
Oh, yeah. He is six and a half.
Which means 5'8". So he grew from – combine, he was 6 foot and 1/2 inch. At his pro day, he was 6 feet and 5/8 of an inch.
Oh, so he grew an eighth.
Yeah.
Mike permed his hair.
Which means he's actually like 5'11".
All right. Either way, there's your three up, three down from the offseason. Back your phones with the big boy right after this.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First three picks here, no linebacker just yet. I know you have a ton of picks left here on day three, but I'm curious if you could kind of assess the current group of linebackers that you do have on the roster. I know you've invested some picks in recent years, and just what you think of that group as a whole as it stands.
Yeah, really excited about that group. You know, excited to see Cameron Grant was able to get on the field a little bit last year. Excited to see him be in an expanded role. He's kind of an additional draft pick. You know, you can kind of put him along there with the three guys that we've been able to add here today, along with some of the other guys from last year. And that all kind of counts to, you know, getting younger, getting faster, you know, being a tough team. So being able to add Mac Wilson, I know a lot was going on in free agency and, you know, it was a trade and not a signing, but I think that was a really important part. Of adding some depth to the linebacking core, along with being able to get Juwan Bentley back. You know, really excited to have him and his experience as well. So, you know, I think we've got a lot of names there and a lot of experience and mix in some youth. So I think it's a good group.
So this is something we haven't gotten to yet that I meant to. Boy, do I hate when teams do this. It's another weasel move. You hear him in there talk about Cam McGrone? How it's like having an extra draft pick? It's like that team that has an injured player and they get to the trade deadline and they make no moves, and then Chris Sale comes off the DL and they say, well, that's our trade deadline acquisition. No, it's not, you weasel. That's a weasel. That is weasel. Weasel move. And I'd say the same thing for Matt Groh. That's a weasel comment. You did not draft a linebacker because Cam McGrone sat out last year. You know you had Cam McGrone on your roster and you didn't add to him. So stuff that. But this whole thing about their linebacker group, Greg Bedard again, joining us in studio. When I go through just the listed depth chart that they have on ESPN, and I know it's not official, but these are the players at the position, and they do it based on a traditional 4-3 alignment with the Mike and the Will and the Sam and that. It, to me, there's one guy. I mean, this is scary. Matt Judon, weak side linebacker, well, you know, whatever you want to call him, fine. Okay, we all feel good about him. Otherwise, starting Mike linebacker, Mack Wilson. Starting Sam linebacker, Bentley. So Mack Wilson, Juwan Bentley. Then I'll just go through the rest of it. Josh Uche, Anthony Jennings, Raekwon McMillan, Ronnie Perkins, Cam McGrone, Jalai Tavai, Therese Hall, Harvey Lange. I mean, that is, there's not one player in there that I know of yet, unless it's McGrone is something. You know what I mean? Like, that feels, boy, that feels like a thin group. A
lot of lottery tickets.
Jesus. Wilson and Bentley, let's face it, as you said before, Juwan Bentley's fine. He'd be a nice, you know, backup Mike linebacker. Like, that's what I feel like he is. If he's your...
Landon Roberts.
Yeah.
But bigger.
Right, exactly. If he's your first linebacker off the bench or your, you know, injury sub for the middle of your defense, I think you're doing okay. It means you got a good player ahead of him. And that's what he should be. Your starter? Mack Wilson starts? Uche, Jennings, McMillan, Perkins, McGrone, Tavai, Hall, Lange? Like, what are they doing there?
Well, look, I think that I knew that they weren't going to take a linebacker in this draft, or at least that's, I looked at their depth chart, and I just know this team, and you look at what they have, and let's not even deal with the outside guys, okay? Because, you know, Uche, Perkins, probably Jennings, Judon, I mean, they play a different position. They play on the edge. The Patriots now play with two linebackers, and they usually sub one out for a safety at some point in time.
Yep.
Often early in the game. So you basically, I have Bentley and Wilson as your starting linebackers. I talked about Bentley before. I think he's just, you know, he's an average NFL linebacker. You know, good that he has institutional knowledge because there's not much in that room, but I don't really put a high value on that. The Patriots do, obviously. Mack Wilson, I watched a lot of his Browns film. I expect him to be an immediate starter here. It depends on the coaching. Can Jerod Mayo get through to him and get him to become a professional and do the things that he needs to do to be successful, because he has all the tools to be a good starting linebacker. Raekwon McMillan, a guy I always liked in Miami, came here. They liked him. Then he got hurt. So they think he's going to pick up where he left off. Do we know that that's going to happen? No. Cam McGrone, good film as a college player. Probably would have went in the third round if he didn't have the ACL, but he did. He's coming back from that. We'll see.
Is he inside or outside?
Inside. He's inside. He's like a Landon Roberts type of guy.
He's that big?
Roberts wasn't big. He's like 6'1", 6 foot.
How heavy is he?
He's like 235.
Okay, so that feels light to me for them.
Yeah, but I mean, he's had a whole year to get bigger, so who knows where he is. Could be 240 now, but certainly if you're looking for an undersized linebacker to go with today's game that can run a little bit, he's not all that fast, McGrone's your guy. You know, he's the equivalent of getting one of these, like Christian Kirk from Alabama. Same type of guy that you would have gotten in the draft. And Tavai, we all know that he played for Patricia in Detroit. So there's a Patricia guy. Lange is a guy who's been around. Hall's been around. So those are your linebackers. Is it the greatest room? No.
I think it's trash.
Well, that's why I would have said I'm waiting on Juwan Bentley. If Juwan Bentley signs someplace else with like Vegas or something like that, oh, well, I'll go find some guy. Like Jamie Collins could come back here on cheap and give you what you needed if you didn't get Devin Lloyd in the draft. But if you didn't sign Bentley, you took Lloyd, Mack Wilson, McGrone. All right. I mean, now I'm liking that linebacker group a bit.
I look at that linebacker group and I say, they're going to play a defense without any linebackers is what they're going to do.
Positionless football.
Yeah, no, because again, they're bursting at the seams with safeties. Phillips I like, Duggar I like, McCourty's McCourty. They signed Jabril Peppers. So you got four guys that should be playing. And so like, this whole money backer thing, this, you know, this sort of hybrid rover kind of thing that's new and sort of a trendy kind of thing. Like, they're going to take linebackers off the field and play with big safeties. Like, that's what I think.
I mean, that's what they've become. And, yeah. you know, they add Peppers to the mix, who was a, you know, a good player. But they played with McCourty, Duggar, Phillips. You know, they had Chung before that. That's all well and good. And you know, I went on a rant on the TV show about the positionless football thing. To me, you're telling me you don't have enough good players to actually say, all right, well, we have a stud linebacker or we have a stud, you know, and whatever. That you're saying, oh, well, we're going to go positionless. I mean, please. That is all well and good. If you can stop the run up front. So like, what have they done this offseason that makes them better against the run than they've been the last 2 years?
Nothing.
That's why you take Travis Jones from UConn in the second round instead of a wide receiver. Who's he going to play over? Aguilar? Devontae Parker? Kendrick Bourne? Jacoby Myers? Who is this kid going to play over? I mean, maybe they trade Nelson Aguilar, maybe. But still, Travis Jones, you know, he plugs and plays in the middle. If Devon Godchow sucks again, then you have Travis Jones, who's better than Devon Godchow right now.
There we go. We're angry about the defense. That's where I started. We got you there.
Excellent.
There you go. There. Way to set it up.
Didn't take much. Big boys in studio. One more thing to get agitated about, and that is what I have scheduled here. Just about getting better in general. Badar got agitated about this. I promise. Your calls as well. 90 seconds, no commercials, just an update here first.
Needham Bank's construction to permanent mortgage can help you move into the home of your dreams. Whether you're renovating a fixer-upper, building a new home, or making your house the home you always knew it could be. With one application, one closing, no mortgage insurance, and being able to borrow against the future value of the home, it's a great time to build something you'll love. If you're thinking of renovating or purchasing a home, visit needhambank.com/dream. Equal housing lender, member FDIC and DIF, NMLS number 2141744.